Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. Today on the ZabeCast, a mini Capital Golf Gang on the Masters and Jon Rahm's Sunday Marathon Rally to reel in Brooks Koepka and to win his first of maybe many green jackets. Plus, we got season-ending nonsense in the NBA, plus Odell, oh my. Your 45 minutes of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Rahm wins the Masters Marathon.
Maybe not the most inspired call from one Jimmy Nance, but still a very solid broadcast. And what a day of golf, I got to admit. Woo! Am I tired? I watched a lot of golf sitting around on an Easter Sunday. How you doing? Happy Monday, April 10, 2023. Thank you for downloading. We got a mini Capital Golf Gang coming up here in just a second to break down the Masters. But I get a couple notes in of other stuff going on before I get to those boys. Note number one, I am currently in the part one of the two-day prep for my colonoscopy. A Moon River. Hello, Doc. So if I stop the podcast suddenly and then run out of here and you hear the faint flushing of a toilet, then you get the point. So far, so good for the most part. I won't get into some of the details for those of you men and women listening of a certain age like me, 50, 55, thereabouts. You've been through this. So this is something that is not new to you. That's number one. Number two, the NBA season came to a conclusion on Sunday, but not before something that happened in Dallas on Saturday night that is going to be talked about for quite some time. Dallas was still in contention to make the playoffs, but decided, because they know that the current team chemistry, along with the injury to the nagging injuries to Luka Doncic, we're going to leave them to be pretty much a field filler. Mark Cuban put the order on down from on high, saying, no, we are not going to win this game and get into the playoffs. So they pretty much benched everybody to start the game for Luka Doncic. Then they took Luka Doncic out of the game, who wanted to still play after like 10 minutes. And then they still were almost winning the game before they eventually lost and were knocked out of the playoffs. Afterwards, listening to Jason Kidd, their head coach, tried to tiptoe around the whole, yeah, wasn't my decision. I'm not a super fan of it. But, you know, that my bosses said this is what we're doing, and so I had to follow the instructions of my bosses. There are anti-tanking rules in the NBA, but, you know, Is the league going to enforce them? We'll see. It was a blatant job of tanking, and normally you'd say, well, Zabe, I thought you were a big fan of tanking. Oh, I'm a big fan of it. I just think this is a terrible look for the league that this happened. It's a terrible look for the league that a team that acquired a former MVP, was Kyrie once the MVP of the league? MVP caliber, list of NBA MVPs. They acquired this frontline player to add to the team, and instead he sank the team. Kyrie Irving, not MVP. Jokic, Giannis, Harden, Westbrook, Curry, Durant, James, Rose, blah, blah, blah. that they would do that and then tank, go from that to tanking is a bad look. He ruined their chemistry, ruined the team, ruined the season, and then the final ugly note to the year was them just completely throwing in the towel. And to have your coach get up there and answer questions about, so what happened? And he was just like, bosses told me to do it. We'll see if the NBA does anything about it. I am skeptical, to say the least. Now, that was only the second worst, quote, look for the weekend for the NBA as it came to a close for the regular season. The worst look had to be the fight that occurred on the Timberwolves bench during a game they needed in order to themselves win and get into the playoffs. Rudy Gobert. Oh, yeah, that guy. Isn't he the guy that kicked off the pandemic by being a jackass touching everyone's microphones? Yeah, that's the guy. I think that's the guy. I got to look that one up. Gets into a full-on fight on the bench. Here was what it sounded like on the TV feed from the announcers.
Up on the Timberwolves bench, Anderson and Rudy Gobert. That's just something you don't see every day. I know the tensions
Yes, it was. It was indeed Rudy Gobert, as I looked it up during that bite. Yeah. kicked out of the game, sent home during the game. According to reports, though, his teammate got into it saying, block some shots. And he said, well, why don't you get some rebounds? Next thing you know, someone was calling him a bitch and fists were flying. Again, is it the first fight ever between teammates? No. I mean, the Mets had a fight in training camp, in spring training, at team photo day between Lenny Dykstra and I think Keith Hernandez or maybe Daryl Strawberry. Not sure who the two guys were, but it happens. It just shouldn't happen, though, when you're supposedly fighting for a playoff spot. So those were two things that happened over the weekend. And then, oh my, Odell. Odell Beckham signs with the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year deal for upwards of $18 million, depending on incentives. It's like $15 million base, $3 million more in incentives. And Steve Bisciotti, owner of the Ravens, stepped up with the money and has done something pretty shrewd. On the one hand, he can now say to his still disgruntled would-be franchise quarterback, Lamar Jackson, hey, we got you a guy. Odell can say, come on, Lamar, let's go, let's get this going. Let's figure out a way to get a deal you're happy with. And then if that doesn't work out, and if Aaron Rodgers eventually becomes a Jet, he's still not one yet, then guess what? They could trade Odell and acquire draft picks. I would assume the $15 million one-year salary is absorbable by the Jets, but I think it's probably a brilliant move either way. The only way it doesn't work out is if, you know, Lamar Jackson doesn't play for them next year and their season sucks anyway and Odell's hurt and he's not very good because he's been out of league for a year and you waste $15 million. But it's a $15 million bet that I myself, if I had the money, if I was Steve Bisciotti, I would have said, yeah, I will make that bet. Okay, coming up in just a second here on the Zabecast, a miniature Capital Golf Gang with all the boys, Ronis, Ghoul, and Buddy to discuss the Masters and John Rahm's big win, coming back from four shots down when the day began against the great Brooks Koepka. That's next. You're listening to the Zabecast. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Nowadays.
I know it is. A mini edition of the Capital Golf Gang emergency post Masters podcast on a Sunday night. Happy Easter, boys. And how about that John effing Rahm from a double bogey on the first hole with a four putt to a runaway winner on 18 where he could literally snipe Gackett into the trees and have it ricochet out just 90 yards from where he hit it and still win the tournament going away. How about that for John Rahm, huh, boys? Who wants the first crack at this?
I told my son that he could top it like your dad does off the 18th tee and still win the tournament. And sure enough, he almost did. It's crazy.
Why do you got to be that self-effacing right away, John Ronas, Director of Instruction, Woodmont? Not Woodmont, Director of Instruction and General Manager? No, Director of Golf at River Creek. Got it. Nailed it.
King of the world.
King of the world.
It was nice to see, though, the many layers of the victory with, you know, a Seve-like par on the 18th hole on Seve's birthday on Easter Sunday on the 40th anniversary of his victory. So, it was very poetic.
Yes.
It was great. It was a great day.
It turned out to be a great day. Long ass day, but a great day. John Gould, Executive Director of Middle Atlantic PGA, you're next up. Your thoughts, overall thoughts, headline thoughts on the 2023 Masters.
Yeah, I thought what was interesting is it lacked drama at the end, right? Because Rahm, you know, clearly by the last, you know, basically the back nine, he had it and he was going away. But it didn't lack storylines. We had lots of stories going on, whether it was Spieth and Mickelson going bananas in that one group or how the Live guys were doing, seeing Koepka back up, which you don't normally see, or I guess we didn't think we used to see that, but we've seen it more and more lately. So I thought it was an interesting day. I loved it. I watched a lot of golf, And, you know, I'm a consumer, so I loved watching it all.
Yeah. Buddy Christensen, golfed him. You are next up. Headline takeaway from the 2023 Masters.
You know, for all the weather that, you know, kind of, and I know you experienced it firsthand there, what a great day to get it done today, watching it from, you know, a two-shot swing right off the bat this morning to kind of an uneventful back nine, yet it was weird to see him play against just a number, but yet still just a very exciting tournament. Great to see Jon Rahm win this thing.
Yeah, Jon Rahm, who was ticketed for superstardom very early. In fact, he played as an amateur in the first event that Koepka won on the PGA Tour, the 2015 Waste Management. And at the time, Rahm was still in school at Arizona State. And Mickelson, of course, knew all about him because of his ties to the Sun Devil program. And he said, this is the future world number one right here, which is a bold claim because there's lots of good guys in college that are coming out year after year after year. But for a guy that's been ticketed for stardom, for a guy that has run hot at times. Remember when we were breaking down his argument with his caddy at the Players' Championship that was caught on audio about 4 years ago?
The bunker.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that Jon Rahm was not ready to win majors. This Jon Rahm, with a beautiful wife who was apparently a javelin thrower in college herself at Arizona State, with a young daughter. Yeah.
They had two children.
With a young family, that Jon Rahm is now poised to dominate. How long will the Rahm dominance go? He's obviously a big shark out there, John Ronas, along with Scheffler, who had a wild up and down week, with Koepka, obviously, who showed when healthy, he's now a force in the majors again. But how long is Rahm going to be swimming these waters, gobbling up other players?
I think Rahm's got a good chance to have, you know, not just the magical 18 months, hope you win a major career. I think he's got a chance at having quite a good length career and the chance to win a lot of majors because he does seem to be able to work the ball in both directions, which is obviously important. So I think that he's got a really good chance at winning, you know, at all different golf courses. He's a physical stud, and I think he's going to be great. Yeah. Sorry about my.
That's right. Go take care of your dogs for a quick second. Ghoul, you're next up. I mean, you know, a guy wins a major, the first major of the year, as always. He's a star player. And we go, okay, how dominant is this guy going to be? Your thoughts on the Rahm era, perhaps, in golf?
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to call it the Rahm era. He is good, and he's going to be competitive, and he's going to win more majors. I guarantee that. I just like the way where the field is these days. That, you know, guys like Scheffler, a couple guys that haven't got through yet. I think there's just going to be heavy competition. But, you know, the way he plays, there's no major that you're going to say, oh, he's not a favorite.
Right.
You know, I think he strokes gained to approach was, you know, top five this week in the Masters. And, you know, if he can do that, man, he's tough to beat anywhere.
Yeah. Buddy, how about the shot of the tournament, in my opinion? 13th hole. Even though he's leading at that point by two, I want to say. Two or three, maybe at most.
When
he hit the drive around the corner?
Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable.
I mean, what's so amazing is that we at home watched him hit peeler cuts, all tournament long with the shot
bullet
tracer.
Bullet cuts, too, yeah.
Bullet cuts, peeler cuts, little slider cuts. And then all of a sudden, when he needed that draw, on the most important hole of the tournament with a lead that, while was growing, was still very much in doubt. Disasters can and do happen on 13. Hits this draw around the corner. I'm like, wow.
And as soon as he hit it, the announcer, who was calling that, Nance? As soon as he hit it, it's like, uh-oh, this could be trouble, just because he did not expect him to see him to hit that draw around that corner. But the other thing with Rahm is when his short game, you know, when he gets that rolling too, he's got all the tools. So I think he's going to be a force. I mean, looking at the beginning of his season this year, I mean, he was a perpetual top 10, won three or four tournaments to start the year out.
This is win number four. So he won three before.
Yeah, I mean,
three tournaments.
Four events since January.
Yeah, it's April. So 1 month.
And yeah.
And he doesn't enter the scrub events either.
No, and he shot 65 in the first round at the Arnold Palmer, and you thought, all right, here he goes again. Then he shoots 76 and you know, kind of stumbled through that, stumbled through the match play. So he kind of felt like, all right, he's got his run done, and then he took care of it this week.
Okay, U.S. Open.
He won that tournament.
Yes, no question. U.S. Open in the bag, Masters in the bag. How many more majors, let's go around the horn, starting with you, Ronis. How many more majors when the needle finally stops, and does he get them all?
Yeah, he does get them all. And I usually don't say this, but I would actually go with at least four more.
Wow.
And I usually say one or two.
Okay. Ghoul.
Yeah, actually, that was the number I was going to go with, six, because he's definitely got the perfect game for a PGA, because that those are always set up fair. Kerry Hageman, our guy, you know, sets it up fair, so the best guy is going to win, and I think he'll definitely win one of those. And in terms of winning the British, you know, the Open Championship, I think that's kind of, as a European, that's kind of his motivation to win one of those. So I definitely think he's going to win them all. And then it's just a question of how many times he's going to rack them all up.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Buddy?
I'm totally with winning them all. He's the first European, I think, I saw to win the U.S. Open and the Masters. The U.S. Open's a tough one. He's got that done. You know, I see him winning at least four or five more as well.
Okay. It's a lot. I'll say three of the four, just because golf is hard and there's a lot of good players we don't even know yet who are going to be coming up through the pipeline. And he's going to win five majors, which is a massive, incredible career. That means three more majors to come. So I'm going to put my target there, and we'll just see how it goes. I do like him a lot. His likability to me is starting to come up into the rear view of my likability for Rory McIlroy. It's because Rahm just presents himself as a very thoughtful, level-headed guy. He had some of the best, most balanced stances during the whole live thing, and that resonated with me. And I think when you're a grounded person, you're primed to play some really good golf at the highest level. So kudos to Rahm. All right, one more add on that.
Getting back on that, he actually went and worked on that. He knew that that was the weakest part of his golf game.
Really? His emotional responses?
Professional help to try to get him to be a much more positive person on and off the golf course. So again, when these guys take inventory at the end of the year, and he saw that his mental aspect of it was not as good as it could have been relative to the physical, give it to him for working on that and getting to the point he's at.
Yeah, I think starting a tournament with a 4-putt double, then winning it, like, I mean, that's amazing.
Off the rails.
Right. And he had the best response, which is a classic quote from the great Seve Ballesteros, who we miss to this day, should still be there at the Masters, should still be out there waving to the crowds. But Seve once was asked, how did you 4-putt? And his answer, Ghoul, go ahead.
I make.
And just like that, that's how it goes. Okay, next into the garage bay. We've worked on that car, the next car in on the bay. We're going to put it up on the big rack and look at what's going on, check out what's underneath, is one Brooks Koepka. Was this, in fact, a meltdown? Was it a choke? Was it a collapse? And let the 54 holes versus 72 holes memes, jokes, and resets start flying, because they already are on Twitter. We'll start with you, Ronis. What do you think of Koepka's week?
I mean, I was thinking about this, but you take a look at Phil Mickelson, who finished so strong, so you can't really throw the 54-hole, you know, shotgun, all the other stuff, live tour, not prepared. But at the same time, to not be in high-level competitive situations where you're going down the wire to win. You know, he won the week before on the LIV Tour, but it really doesn't mean anything. It's a shotgun. You're not looking at a leaderboard. It's a joke of a tour, obviously. But the fact is that, you know, when it's crunch time and then you elevate that with a major, you need to be in those situations, as Rahm has been for the whole year, to be used to that. So did he choke? No, I would never say anyone choke, because you got to be really good to be in a position to choke. but he definitely was not prepared to handle that kind of stress at this level.
Okay, Ghoul.
Yeah, I also don't think it was a choke. I mean, he didn't put three in a water or anything like that. He just couldn't get it going. But I do think it was a collapse. And there is something to that, you know, the fact that he hasn't been playing. And yeah, Mickelson came back, you know, so you could argue that. But I still think it's, you know, it's a couple guys like Brooks who were at the top level and went over there and just took the money and had not been playing, you know, very well. Occasionally they play well and win. I certainly think there's something to that they lost their competitive edge. And the great Justin Ray, if you follow him on Twitter, just a great stat guy. He's the son of one of my friends. I saw this stat. So, you know, through the 2019 Masters, six opportunities where he's in top five entering the final round, he shot 68.7 scoring average. But the last seven instances since the 2019 PGA where he enters the top, entered the final round of the top five, average scoring average 73. So he's definitely
lost his closer mojo.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right, buddy, your thoughts on Brooks Koepka?
I wouldn't call it a choke. I think the conditions were. It was a weird week. It was really tough conditions. So
although he got the best of them,
For sure. And then to come back and have, you know, that putt to start the day out or whatever. But he hit some wildly bad shots in the fourth round that he did not hit. He looked very much in command the rest of the week. So even though it's not a choke, he did come back. But the fact that he was tied for second is crazy to me. I just did not see that coming. I certainly didn't see Phil coming. And so I think overall those LIV guys did much way better than I ever expected, and certainly he was at the forefront of that. I mean, only one guy beat him in the end. So
true. But he had a 4-shot lead to start the day, a marathon day, and he ends up losing by 4. So that, you know, that's going to leave a mark right there. I think this about Koepka: he is a dull-eyed and dull-minded dominator who, when he is on, will just grind right over you like he's in a tank. But sometimes, and maybe more than just sometimes, the game of golf requires flair and artistry and fire and a bit of joie de vivre that I don't know if he has that deep inside of him. He's good at it. He's great at it. He grinds at it. I know it's deep. I'm getting deep here. What I thought was needed was sort of on the back nine when he was fighting for his life to keep from drowning. He needed that kind of glinty-eyed edge. That sort of like, I'm out here and I'm going to try to do some things to make it happen. I know it was all about routine. This is what I do. I got my swagger. I'm pretty cool. I tug on my cap. And that worked great for the first three rounds.
Until you're a victim, Zabe. Until you're a victim, because one sentence of his interview, he just didn't get any breaks.
Yeah,
nine. I could have been within a foot if I would have gotten a good break.
You know what? I used to crush quotes like that from golfers, but then somebody explained it to me that this is what they're taught to say by their mental coaches.
Yeah.
They are literally taught to say, don't ever admit these kind of failings. Always look turn every negative into a positive, no matter what. I once heard a story about how Tiger nuked like a 4-wood dead out of bounds at Westchester one time, but he turned and said, man, but I crushed that thing. And it was like, really? You're happy with that shot? He's like, I love the contact.
Well, I think about Koepka, and it's a little bit about DJ too, is, you know, there's a certain element to, hey, don't think out there, just play, just react. Right. And that gets you through a lot, and it probably gets you through early rounds. But when it comes down to thinking your way around the golf course and a strategy and what essentially, you know, was match play near the end. And I think that's where it failed him, because that's not his style, not DJ's style, that it's just go out there and it's sheer athleticism and talent and using your noggin to get you through is just not a strength, I don't think.
All right, quick exit question on this. Likeability factor this week for Koepka, for those who love the game, was it likability plus, minus, or same, given the week that was and how he handled himself, all the LIV stuff, everything else? Plus, minus, or same?
Ronis. I think I think it stayed relatively close to the zero that he's currently at. So I would say the same zero likability.
Saying you don't know any big Koepka fans amongst your golf buddies and or people at the club?
No, not that I would admit to it.
Okay. Sort of like Nickelback fans. They sell a ton of records, but nobody wants to admit to being a fan of them. Cool. Likeability factor for Koepka. Was it a slight plus, minus, or same this week?
Same. And what I found interesting was the announcers danced around it but never said it. Everybody's rooting for Rahm out there, and I really don't think that Rahm is – I mean, he's a big star, but I don't think he's everybody's favorite. I think they just didn't want a live guy to win, and so that meant rooting for Rahm because he was the guy that was going to defeat Koepka and Mickelson in the end.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's pretty a neutral week as far as his likability. He didn't wear the live stuff like Phil and Reed did. So
he was the only live guy with no Smashers gear.
Yes,
one of the Smashers.
To see out there, but there is this thing with the golf gods, and you know that comes into play too. And I'm not so sure that wasn't part of this whole week as well.
All right. By the way, quick, honest question. This is not snark, buddy. Is Golfdom or will Golfdom carry live team gear?
Oh, come on.
What? What do you mean, come on? That's a legit question.
You know what? That is a legit question, Zabe.
With Bryson DeChambeau on getting whatever his gear is.
It was a curious question as to whether anyone from Liv reached out to you or other you know, golf shops to go, look, we'd like to put our product in your store. We just want to break even. We just want it out there. I would. Ronis, am I crazy for saying this?
No. I don't think you're crazy at all. And I honestly think that someone like Buddy has to seriously consider, and especially putting aside, grievance money's going, right? If the money's going to the Saudi-based stuff, if it's going right to that, then you sit there and you say, no, I don't want to play in this ballgame.
Okay.
But if it's something else.
All right. Never mind. I'll go online to get my Crusher's hat. Which I've been.
I want to hear Buddy's thoughts on this, though.
I think we're going to find out what the temperature is in our market here in the next month or so.
That's true. Yep, in May.
So I'm conflicted in my own head of like, do you even go out there? I mean, you got some big names going to be there, and it's like.
Well, the Live Tour is going to be at Trump DC.
Yes.
In May.
Anime.
We're gonna hopefully be out there ourselves doing shows. I am not opposed to being out there for that event. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it for myself. I'm not anti per se, but I think for some of these guys, we'll get to Mickelson. I think they've jumped off a cliff. Anyway, that said, you're not carrying live gear. Don't plan to carry it. So I'm gonna have to go get my Crusher's hat online, which is fine.
It's even beyond that. Like, what is the gear? Who's making it? You know, is it all about just this logo on it? It's not, you know.
That's a good question. Are there major brands that co-brand with them or not?
Honestly, I don't know.
Because, you know the Masters gear, it's all non-co-branded gear.
Private label.
Exactly right. Okay, let's put Phil into the garage, put him up on the lift. Seeing him in person. I mean, you look on TV, you're like, wow, he's lost a lot of weight. Some people are making the jokes about, was he sick or something? No, I just think he's gotten serious about his health. He looks great. The jawline is staggering. And he had quite a week in which he had a right-handed shot. He had a driver off the deck from deep inside the pine straw in one hole. And he got hot as a pistol on Sunday as things warmed up. And he almost snuck in there for what might have been a very interesting finish if Rahm had collapsed. So, overall, the week for Phil, given that he laid low on the front end, played as well as he did. What are your thoughts, Ronis? Your first up.
More reason why it's sad, very sad that he went to that tour. He was an icon. Tiger's done. Obviously, Tiger's done. He was an icon that was going into Arnold Palmer territory, and he screwed the whole thing up. What a shame. That's what it made me think of. What a shame.
Yeah, I kind of agree that, you know, the crowds, you know, we were there Thursday, so we couldn't really tell, Friday, excuse me. So we couldn't really tell necessarily. We saw Phil on number 4 It was early in the morning. The crowds were just kind of waking up, but it was a very muted welcome to the tee. I think it warmed up as he got into the heat of contention and by the time Sunday came. But a lot of people noticed when he made his putt on 18,
yep.
half the people didn't even get out of their folding chair.
So interesting relative to the
year
he made it to win.
Half did, versus- half did, but half didn't. And you darn well, Ghoul and Buddy, that place would have leapt out of their chairs a year ago.
No doubt.
Yeah. 2 years ago, something like that. Yeah, first of all, let's give him the kudos he deserves. He played unbelievably. I didn't expect him to make the cut. And not only did he make the cut, he had an unbelievable Sunday. That pairing with Spieth would have been really fun to watch if you were just watching them, right? But
right.
So that blew me away. But yeah, it's almost as if, okay, great. We don't care. Just, shoot your number. And the sunglasses in the rain was a weird look too. He was wearing those all week, even when it was pouring and overcast. But interesting in that nobody was interested.
Phil thoughts.
Well, he also, I saw he went on a 12-hole run where he was 5 over par. So if he can go through that in 2 over par, he's all of a sudden either in the lead or right on the heels, and it's a totally different story. Again, that's an easy thing to go back and try to recreate.
That was on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. That was in the worst of it, weather-wise.
Yeah, that was probably part of it, of course. But it didn't seem like – I mean, he had to start the week with the Masters champion dinner, and that had to be awkward. Supposedly, he didn't even talk during the whole thing. He didn't seem to even crack a smile or do much until after he made that putt on 18. He kind of seemed to get back into it. They didn't show him on TV the first couple days. So just it's very, very odd. I totally agree with Ronis in that it's just sad that this is how it's gone down. And this kind of emphasized how bad that whole thing has become for him. His legacy.
He's like 53. Right?
52.
He's in great health now, looks like. I'm sure his arthritis is in great control because when you lose weight, eat right, that's what it does. And he's got a swing and he's otherwise healthy that he could be doing this at least at Augusta. He's going to struggle more at the courses that penalize you for wayward shots. You can kind of hit it all over the place.
Starter.
Right.
He
well,
could have been an honorary starter.
And he may still be Ghoul. He may, we're a long ways from that yet. But just hold your horses on that. My point is, at 52, he could have been knocking around competing to win another one of these in the next 8 years, because 50 is no longer this death sentence, or 46 like it was for Nicklaus in 86. I looked this up when Willett won in 2016. You know who was T3? Going into Sunday, two shots back, Bernhard Langer. Sunday, he went out in the second to last group. I'm like, wow. So Phil could have been that guy. He could have been the full golfing emeritus, the next Arnie, as you put it, Mr. Ronis, and made an absolute ton of money through all kinds of ventures. But he needed a big pile of money. He needed the big pile of money right away, or he wanted the big pile of money, or he wanted to stick it to the PGA Tour and the ghost of Tim Fincham and the current Jay Monahan, or who knows what motivated him, or it might have been some gambling issues, gambling debts. That's not something you can just dismiss, because there are, a guy went to jail in Billy Walters over what started as a gambling debt of $1 million. So we don't know, but he took all those beans, Ronis. He said, here. And pushed him across the table. And it is a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
But
it's not the funny aspect of it. It's just it's who he's in bed with.
And it's not over yet. Time does heal and mend things. And we'll see what course of events take from here. But the whole live thing, last thought on the live thing, then I got to go a few little Easter egg items, and then we're done because we've already gone 26 minutes. You guys are very kind with your time late on a Sunday night here on Easter night. People say, well, was it a good week for live? For the LIV Tour? And I'm like, no. No, it was a good week for a handful of players who play on the LIV Tour. It was not a good week for the LIV Tour because their needle's not moving in any regard. Attendance, television, respect, crushers, hats, sold, anything because of this week. Because, oh, they had three guys finish in the top 10. The whole argument about, well, did you predict they'd have three guys finish in the top six? I'm like, it doesn't matter. You're asking the wrong question. Is the league a viable league that's got traction and can go forward and thrive? And the answer is no, still no. And it got even worse this week, well away from Augusta, Georgia, when a federal judge ruled that two of the Saudi principals in the public investment fund could not recuse themselves from being a part of the tour's countersuit. So if they're going to continue down this legal road, they're going to be exposed to discovery. And they're going to have everything turned inside out. And I can assure you, this is the last thing they want. So it was a terrible week for the LIV Tour. It was a good week for a handful of guys who play on it. Is that a fair take?
Yeah, I think it's a fair take. And the other thing to add is that the DP World Tour won the appeal.
That's another one.
To be able to suspend and therefore also, you know, not let them play from the European Tour. So that the opportunity for world golf ranking points went down for a hell of a lot of their people. So it's really going to be, like you said, the handful that, you know, maybe got the top 10 here or have one major. So they're going to be still invited to majors. But one article I read, so 18, they got 12 of 18 made the cut this week. But they expect the number of LIV Tour players next year to be about half of it was this year.
Yeah, so they're going to lose eight guys, it looks like, because Neiman finished T16. Well, in terms of the automatic invite, I mean, they could play their way back in with a win or by climbing up the world rankings, but it looks like just based on the T12 and ties gets back next year, they're going to lose about six or seven or maybe eight guys, the LIV Tour. So it'll be about cut in half, and half the guys that were there were not competitive, or they came just for the free, you know, swag bag, like Kevin Naan played nine holes and set them out.
Sandwiches.
Right, exactly. Who knows? So, yeah, that'll be something to look for going forward. All right, let me get a couple more things in here, then we're done. Quickity quick. Cantlay, slow play, menace to the game. Why weren't they put on the clock, John Gould?
That's a good question. They should have been, but I don't know. I don't know where the group in front of them was in terms of being out of position. But I thought it was a funny quote from Koepka, actually, that he said Jon Rahm went to the bathroom seven times, and every time he came back, we were still waiting. So they were clearly waiting every hole. So I don't know where they never kind of showed us the position of the group in front of Cantlay. But man, it's brutal, especially putting. Bad.
Ronis?
That's unacceptable.
A dismissive, disgusting, one word, trademark Ronis word of disapproval, unacceptable. Buddy.
So they went off both tees, and I guess the group from the other side was done. The last group, Keith Mitchell and the marker, were done when the other side was on the 16th hole, which shows you how slow they were versus the other side. So it was tough. The app actually allowing you to watch all the, you know, different things going on kind of allowed you to see how slow it was too, because they were showing shots that you had already watched a minute and a half ago. They were just filling up time in between. But yeah, that's a problem, and it's no good. I think Hovland was kind of not happy with it either.
Yeah. All right. Other quickies. Bennett, the amateur.
Tremendous.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was so amazed, you know, that his pairings, you know, first of all, with Scheffler, the defending champ, and the number five in the world with Max Homa, beat them both the first 2 days. And then playing in the last group the third day, went back a little bit. But, man, just so impressive. And they was out on Twitter, and then they finally mentioned it. I think Nance mentioned it on the broadcast that he's got an 8:30 tee time back in Aggieville.
Right.
On Monday morning, and he's playing 36, carrying his own bag.
Hey, Dan, guys,
what a come down. That's got to be.
Answer me this question on that one, because he said, I haven't decided yet, but I think I'm going to play tomorrow. Is that I haven't decided yet if I'm going to stay an amateur, or have I decided yet that I'm going to play in the tournament tomorrow?
I thought it was to play in the tournament because, I mean, there's some logistics of getting him home and getting him, you know. Okay. Thankfully, it seems like it's in Starkville, so it should be close enough to where he's going, but who knows how long it's going to take to get home.
And what is the Now, if he decided that he wanted to turn pro, does he have to say that before the tournament starts?
Or does he not get the money?
Yes, he has to say it before he starts, but in this case, his exemption was based on him retaining his amateur status. So if he turned pro, fine, but now you can't play in the Masters, so you know,
right.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I thought that when you made a commitment in golf to play an event, you made a commitment, and that he's got to go play in this thing tomorrow. I don't care how tired he is. Right.
It's a college tournament. Yeah. You know, guys get sick or break a finger. Yeah.
All right. So it's not as big of a deal. Okay. Not as big of a deal as maybe I thought. Okay.
Yep.
He seems like a very nice young man. His story with his father is very inspirational. Got it. I thought his cockiness in the media center after Friday's round was a little bit much.
Yeah. I think it bit him in the ass, too.
I think Karma definitely heard that, but okay. Maybe he'll learn. I think his pace of play is also unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his swing is just, I don't think it's going to hold up over time. I think it's a little bit too homegrownish. I mean, he could be a decent pro. Do I see him as the next coming of anything? No. But that was also the guy that was mocking my golf buddies who kept talking my ear off about Scottie Scheffler and when I had not heard of him. I said, call me when we win something. That was right before the Ryder Cup, and I've never lived that down. So maybe I'm not the best scout. Is Bennett the next coming of something?
No.
No, I think he'd be a good player.
Just another good amateur who may or may not be a good pro.
And I would ask Ronis this, but homegrown is not a problem because it's repeatable. You know, it's, you know, Furyk-esque in terms of, you know, as long as you can go to it and it comes through, I think that's fine. I'm not worried as much about that. I just don't think he's a transcendent talent.
He didn't have anything that was super special, you know, that you'd say, wow, that's a skill set that other people don't have.
He has some stones, though.
Stones, short game,
grit, but, you know.
It's easy to have stones in the press box, but it's something that Scheffler was a, you know, historic junior winner. So
true.
He should have seen that coming.
Right. Okay.
Well, and the big guy was the freshman from Vanderbilt. They gave a special exemption into the tournament, right? He just didn't perform there like Bennett did. He stepped up, but I don't know that Bennett's even been playing that well on their, you know, in the college.
No, I think he was ranked 7th in collegiate seniors.
Yeah.
7th among seniors only. What?
Well, maybe he's just a Brooks Koepka. He just shows up for majors.
Wins U.S. Amateur.
All right. Real quick, 13th hole. What'd you think?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's 545 yards. It really just, it's still a, shoot, I think I'm almost trying to go for it at 545. But it's just, they happen to catch some wind and stuff like that I still think it's a great hole, and I still think they can go for it. So yep. It's all good.
The question we talked about before the event was, you know, is it going to make it a boring hole? Everybody's laying up, and that never came true. Everybody was going for it, but they were just going for it.
Not everybody.
Irons and, well, yeah,
not, there was a lot of laying up.
Weather days. There was more laying up, which made it challenging. But instead of going for it with a 7-iron, they're going for it with a 4-iron or a 5-wood, which made it more interesting to me.
Dave, did you visit the top of that third shot if you lay up when you were there?
Oh, that's where we were camped when the weather delay finally shut it down on Friday. And if you listen to the emergency podcast in the car driving back to Atlanta, we told the story about how we adopted a pair of abandoned Masters tournament chairs from some VP of renewable energy at BP Oil. He had his card in the back. The place was clearing out. Nobody was there. We're like, well, we can't just leave these chairs here. So we got two extra chairs. We were in the honey spot, the layup spot on 13. It was glorious.
Well, that's a scary shot, though.
It is.
Especially
when it's on the back ledge there.
Yes.
So, and there were more people laying up. So, I mean, it was just you're going to reach it. Where are you going to put it? Just go long or whatever you're going to do. Here, there were more people laying up, and it is a scary, 75, 80-yard shot with downhill lie. trying to carry it over that creek and stop it on that green.
So you would then say the golf, the extension of that hole has been an improvement. It's been a success because it's brought more styles of play on that hole, more intrigue into the mix.
Yes, and there were still eagles on the hole, so it didn't take it away where you could not.
But there were way more bogeys, it felt like.
Yes, so you were bringing in play some second shots that were ended up, you know, left in the gunk there. You never saw that before.
All right.
And I liked it.
All right, I'm bumping out with the old NBC golf theme just because it's handy. I know it doesn't fit the Masters, but let it wash over you, boys. Full Capital Golf Gang recap. Later on this week, I'll see you guys at the store on Wednesday.
All right, safe.
Thanks. See you, boys. Okay, just a couple of mop-ups here to finish the podcast for tonight. By the way, my bowels are holding strong for now. I'll keep you posted as developments warrant. No, please don't. We don't need to hear. I know this. My bowels would not be in good shape if I did what Will Levis does, quarterback. Kentucky, possible top five pick in the upcoming NBA NFL draft. Apparently, Will Levis eats bananas with the peel on and puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Should that eliminate him from first round contention on that alone? He also takes really douchey bathroom mirror selfies of his absolutely Adonis-like physique and his great hair. Should that eliminate him from being a first-round pick? I don't know, but it is damn weird. Even monkeys have the good sense and the dexterity with their opposable thumbs to be able to peel bananas to get to the good part. Not Will Levis, apparently. Or maybe he's just doing it for shtick. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that the footnote to the whole stupidity with the Timberwolves bench fight is that after they kicked their own player out of the game, sent him home so they could calm the situation down, another player in the Timberwolves got frustrated and punched a wall and broke his hand. Good job. You're doing great there in Minnesota. All right. That'll do it for me today. Thanks so much for listening. Have yourself a great Monday. Wish me luck as I get the big clean out and the old scope-a-dope. And I'll be back here fit as a fiddle and full of stomach, hopefully tomorrow at this very same time. Thanks for listening. Have a good Monday, and we will see you next time. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah. Johnny Come Latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.